Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm delighted to be back with you again. We're going to continue our conversation on cancer, surviving the battle. I have my co-host, Shirley Carter.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us again this evening. And to wind, to wind down the month, Val, this, we're at the end of the month for domestic violence and breast cancer. So it's been a whirlwind of a month. And to able to share so much with all our listeners, it's been wonderful.
Yeah, you know, I don't understand why they moved domestic violence into October. They were trying to rally to get it in March, to be done in March, so that, because I mean, these are two very impactful situations that happen continually to people, regardless of your gender or your economic status. It's a social disease, social infragment that is pressed upon men and women and children. Domestic violence and cancer doesn't have a gender, doesn't have a preference. So, you know, to talk about this, it's been challenging because I'm a survivor of domestic violence, you're a cancer survivor, and to try to get the information out to the public. You know, the 1 in 3 women are victims of domestic violence and 1 out of 4 men are. And, you know, 1 in 7 women and 1 in 18 men have been stalked by an intimate partner. You know, and then the bullying that's going on in our society. And just to know that, you know, these statistics are just statistics that were ran, like, late last year. They're not current and present because it takes so much time to gather together that data to get the information out to the people, these statistics, but they're ever climbing. I mean, you know, turning on the news yesterday and today, you know, there's been shootings and this man killed his wife. She just had his baby shot. He didn't kill her, but shot her. She just had their child like 5 days ago, got a newborn, shot her mother, and then he turned the gun on himself, so he's in critical condition. I mean, this just happened yesterday. It's just every day situations like this. And, you know, we talk about it, you know, almost every show I mention it, being a survivor. But, you know, we've been honing in this month because it's Domestic Violence Month. And, you know, I know you can elaborate further as it relates to cancer.
Yes, yes. And the thing about it with cancer and everything, that it, you know, just like domestic violence affects men, so does cancer, breast cancer affects men. And I really would like to touch on that more with the women that are out there to have a man in their life and everything, to understand the importance of understanding what risks a man has of getting breast cancer in their lifetime. We sometimes tend to look at it just as a woman's disease, but it's not. A man in his lifetime, 1 in 1,000, and when you think about that number, 1,000 is not a large number. 1 in 1,000 men will have breast cancer. They're at risk of having it. And they're expected just for 2015, the number to reach over 2,300 men will be diagnosed with invasive breast cancer. And those numbers are high. When you think about something that has been a signature for that's a woman's disease. And then to find out that men are becoming more and more prone to come down with breast cancer, and you think in one lifetime, one in a thousand will come down with breast cancer. That's a lot. When you think about the rates and everything, and being that it's something that really over the last, I would say, 10, 15 years has come to the forefront that men do get breast cancer because they don't talk about it. You don't see men coming forward and saying, I'm a breast cancer survivor. Even though you hear the statistics say one in a thousand in their lifetime, and you wonder, where are these men? Who are they? And some of the men are very well-known men that are, you know, in society. I know a lot of people, I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but I know a lot of people have seen the movie Shaft, Richard Roundtree. He's a breast cancer survivor. And there are several other ones that are out there that are in very high-profile positions, but they don't talk about it. They don't put their face out there. That's something that is lacking and putting out information so the men would start taking a better, you know, another look at this and not looking at it as just a woman's thing. That, wait a minute, hold up. This man was an actor, still is an actor. He kept himself in good condition physically, and I'm assuming that he ate good because of the roles that he had to play in the movies and everything, and being a Hollywood actor. In order to work, you got to be in, you know, in condition, mentally, physically, and health-wise. And then for him to come down with breast cancer, so it's not a thing about, oh, he must have been eating this, or he was overweight, or this and that. It has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. And there was no history, no family history, but he did come down with it. And then we look at the other risks and the factors is that in the U.S., we are one of the countries that women die from breast cancer more so than lung disease, than lung cancer. And lung cancer was known to be a number one killer. But a number one cancer that you can get because of all the smoke and everything that was so heavy when their smoking was around, when they used to promote, you know, have all this advertising about, you know, smoking and everything, they almost made it like it was a glamour thing to have a cigarette in your hand. It was more like a fashion statement. Well, not as much as they used to. Because of all the lawsuits that came into place with the lung cancer. So they kind of toned that down some, but you still see, you know, some advertising, but not as much. But when you think about what are some of the things that I can do for me to help me that I don't come down with breast cancer, and I'm speaking of women that are out there that are listening, and the risk factors are there because the risk factors is like in a lifetime, that one in eight women in a lifetime will have invasive cancer. And then there's different types. Now, when I use the word invasive, that means that the cancer is in you, it is more has developed and maybe even gone to some of your other areas as far as your lymph nodes or something, or it's inside the breast. But then there's also the one which is non-invasive, which is in situ. And that's something that you don't hear people talk about. And they said, well, I had in situ. In situ is still breast cancer. It's just non-invasive. That means it didn't go to your lymph nodes or it's not in typical areas where you would find it. Like in situ may be found in the upper part of your breast. It may be found closer to your in the center. As opposed to a lot of people find breast cancer more in the nipple area or more underneath or more closer underneath the arms. And those are more invasive. But when you get the in situ, it's in the upper part of your breast. So that's why when you do your self-breast exam, you need to make sure that you're not only you know, filling around your breast, underneath and in your nipple, oreo and all of that, you need to go underneath your arm, under your armpit. Because, you know, people feel like, okay, once I leave my breast, that, okay, this got to be something else. No, it mm-hmm. could still be breast cancer. It's a more invasive type that it is found
wow.
in other areas. So, you know, that's why it's important that you do get some of those cards that they show self-breast exams. And it shows you how to, where you feel, what areas, when, if you're in the shower. You know, some people, you know, they do the exam in the shower. You know, hold your arms up. Feel underneath there. And if you feel anything, like, okay, I didn't feel this before. What is this? You need to check it out. And then you need to ask and make sure you get someone to check it out properly. Because sometimes mammograms are good, but sometimes they don't pick them up. They do not pick up the mass. So don't be afraid to say, look, I feel something and I need to know what it is. Even if they have to go and do an ultrasound. And now they have these so many new equipments out, the different things you can do as far as exams and everything. Ultrasounds are good, and they have a new machine that they have out that doesn't pinch you like the mammogram machine does. So that was another reason that a lot of women didn't want to go, because of the type of machines that they use. You know, they're filling around, they're squeezing your breast between these two big plates and all of this. So, you know, it turned a lot of women off. They said, well, I'll just feel if I don't feel anything, or if it's not in my breast, I'm not going to worry about it. You know, but that takes away a lot of that fear if you're able to know that you have other options, that it's not just that one option you have. And then there's the there's other tests and things that you can take. There's a lot of people take a preventative test. They have the BRCA test, the BRCA1 and the BRCA2, which is a gene study. And that can give you an overall, you know, common knowledge about, okay, am I carrying the gene? If I am carrying the gene, which one am I carrying? Is it a mutation trend? That means, is it going to go into my children, or when, you know, I just said, like, men and women have it? It will give you the information you need to know. That, is it going to come up in my children, or are the genes negative? Is it a genetic mutation? In men, the BRCA2 mutation are associated with a lifetime breast cancer risk of about 6 to 8%. But the BRCA1, the BRCA1 mutations are less frequent cause of breast cancer in men. So if you are a woman and you tested positive for BRCA1 and you have sons, then it's less likely that you will transfer to your sons. But if you come out with the BRCA2, then there's a 6 to 8% that you will transfer to your sons. But the risk of the mutation is probably for women, what they have, two, it's about 45%. Those numbers are high, that you will pass that on to your daughters, 45%. So they've got different things out there that we can do preventative things. So my point, my take on it, okay, but if you got a BRCA1 mutation, the risk of developing in it, women, as far as passing it on to your daughters, is even higher than a 2. It's 55 to 65%. So when you know those figures, then you can make an informative decision like Angelina Jolie did. She had her breast removed. Someone in her family, and they haven't let that out, but it's been said that they took the BRCA2 test. and a BRCA1, and it came out positive. And so she knew that 55 to 65% chance that she would come down with breast cancer, so she opted to remove her breasts before it got to that point. She said,
yeah, I think it was her aunt that had it.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, one of the things, Shirley, is, you know, we hear about cancer, we hear about domestic violence, we've experienced it, we've lived it, and, you know, we feel that life is over when you're in the midst of it and going through it. You learn, you're just, you know, trying to find out how to pick up the pieces, how to begin again, how to start over after such trauma, mental, physical, the financial trauma that you go through. Because even with cancer and domestic violence, they kind of have the same onslaught because of the fact that you go through anxiety and post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, you go into hypertension, you know, and cardiovascular diseases. All these, you know, triplets and remnants from the experiences and the traumas that we go through physically. But, you know, you've been able to pick up the pieces. I've been able to pick up the pieces. And tonight I have a special guest, Conchita Pleasant, who's a cancer survivor, and she's an entrepreneur. Conchita, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
So I'm good. Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul.
Thank you so much. I feel blessed to have the opportunity to be on your show, and I just thank you both for sharing so much information relevant to this disease, because it's very there's so much misinformation, and then there's so much to be, you know, that we need to know so that we can save lives. So I just thank you all for really just being so gracious to give us this information, and I'm just blessed to be on the show.
Now, you're a survivor of cancer. Can you share with the audience a little bit about that and how you began your journey in recovery and becoming an entrepreneur?
Okay, so I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2011. And basically, I do my, you know, I'm all, one of those who always go every year for my mammograms. I started at the age of 35. And, you know, the doctor told me that I should wait. But, you know, I just wanted to start early. And we didn't really have a history at that time, but I didn't want to wait until 40. So up from 40 up until 46, I take them every year religiously on time, you know, and with no problem. So in 2010, I was actually began working on launching my hair care product called Nefertiti Secrets. And I had originally always wanted to launch my own product because I was in the industry working with Carson Products, which is Dark and Lovely hair products. And I always loved the industry and health and beauty and wellness. I've always loved that. So I decided that, you know, I said this is something that I wanted to do, and I just prayed about it. I prayed about it for quite a long time. And I said, you know, whenever I just asked God to give me the vision and give me the name of the product, because I couldn't come up with anything. I just had the idea in my head. And in 08, I actually received a vision of the logo along with the name of the product. And it was just divine, because I had never had an experience like that. So when, you know, I was just so blessed when I prayed about it, and one night it just came. It just, like, all of a sudden I got a vision of the actual logo along with the name of the product. So that was the beginning of my journey with launching my product. And unfortunately, are you there?
Yes.
Hello? Oh, I heard a noise.
Yes,
in the
we're
back.
Here.
Okay. Unfortunately, when I first launched the product in 2010, I was going through quite a lot. Had a problem with my chemist and some integrity issues. And so I ended up having to start all over again because I had to, you know, he just wasn't the person that I needed to help me to move the brand forward. So I, at that time, I was married and I had a daughter. I still have a daughter. She's now 18, but at that time, she was about 13 years old. And I was going through a very difficult time between the chemist and my ex-husband, at this now my then husband. And I, like you, I've experienced some domestic violence, but it was more verbal. It was verbal. But I did hear you say on the show last week that is a form of domestic abuse.
Oh.
Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So, you know, that was the first time I heard that. I didn't realize that was considered domestic violence, but to be honest with you, it felt like every time I would hear those, you know, damaging words and hurtful words, it felt like I was being physically abused, you know?
Right, because so verbal abuse works from the inside out, where physical abuse is from the outside in.
Okay. See, that,
so they're both
that was
dismantling you of your will, your power to move forward and to function in the capacity that you were God-given.
Oh, I see. Okay, and that, so with that, 2010 was a very difficult year because I had this stress with the chemist that was unethical, and as well as my ex-husband who wanted to wanted me to completely abandon the whole idea. But being that I had gotten that vision from God, I knew that this was from God, and I said that, you know, there's no way I'm going to abandon this, especially since it wasn't really, you know, because of my anything that I did. It was on, you know, someone else's behalf. So I started looking for a new chemist, and I, you know, basically was trying to take my time and made sure that I was listening to that voice of, you know, with regards to, you know, what steps to take next instead of just moving on my own accord. And, you know, I got a lot of resistance from my ex-husband. He was, you know, telling me that, you know, he didn't want me to continue and verbally abusing me. And so I went through a lot. And the very next year in 2011, when I decided to separate from him because of the verbal abuse and because he basically was not willing to continue to, he didn't want to continue the relationship. He wanted to take control and wanted me to abandon it. And since I didn't, he decided he was going to leave. Long story short, I'm trying to get to the point of how I found the cancer, but I want to lead. I think this is important because the reason why I'm sharing this as well is because I do believe that stress that I was going through in 2010 had a lot to do with the cancer that manifested in my body.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the ways that they say they can identify it. Am I correct, Shirley?
True, because with the stress and everything that you were going through, it was constantly eating away inside of you. So that is one of the biggest factors in a lot of diseases.
Oh, wow, yes.
That
and,
goes
you know,
back to that post-traumatic stress that I talked about, that, you know, some of the statistics, the side effects from domestic violence and stuff, it says cancer and cardiovascular disease.
Wow, and, you know, then the cardiovascular, you know, many times when we would have these heated discussions that would turn into an argument, I thought I would go and take two aspirins because I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And
wow.
I thought that was going to be the thing that would probably be more, you know, the most detrimental to me. But you know, it turned out. So what happened in 2011, when I decided to move or to separate, I normally take my mammograms in January. Well, it was already May going into June, and because I had been so stressed out almost every day of my life, you know, being verbally abused and stressed to the point of just to the point where I couldn't even function or think about myself, I looked up and I was almost 6 months behind on my mammogram. And so it took me actually separating from him, and actually my sister, who was a doctor, she had a condo that was actually vacant at the time, and she said, you know, you need to get away because you're being abused and you're being taken for granted. You need to go, you know, to my condo. And she gave me the key, thank God, because that saved my life.
Oh,
so when
wow.
I yes, I'm telling you, because I didn't know how I felt. Like I had nowhere to go, and he also would, because of the fact he knew that I had nowhere to go, he would use that as a, you know, almost like that was his power to continue to abuse me, because he felt like, where are you going to go? So my sister did help me out, and I came over, but I did have money saved, and I remember you saying that, to make sure you have some money saved. I had some money saved, thank God. Because sure enough, when I got here, one day I was taking a shower, and sadly enough, I have to admit that I don't do the breast exams. I at that time, I wasn't doing them. You know, I felt like, well, I go once a year, that's enough. So I wasn't even touching my breast at all. And one day I was taking a shower here. Well, when I first came to my sister's condo, it's on the water, beautiful, and it was just like I just fell to my knees and I just thank God, and I could just hear him say, peace, be still, like, you have escaped, this is your time to be at peace. And so I was just so overwhelmed, I cried, and I just thank God for allowing me to escape, because to me that was, it was, like I said, it was just as difficult. And he was also an alcoholic, so at times he would be physically violent as well.
Wow.
So it was very difficult. So what happened is when I came here, I was taking a shower, and I just heard this voice just as clear, and he said, touch right here. And I was like, what? What? Yeah, I didn't know what that, you know, I was like, what is this voice telling me to touch my breast? And I said, oh, this is God telling me to touch my breast. So I touched exactly where he told me to touch, and I kept moving around and feeling, and it wasn't really like a knot, but it was some kind of something there, and I had to continue to feel, to actually feel. But when I heard that voice, I knew I was supposed to find something was there. And I continued to move my hand around in that spot, and then finally I felt a pain, like deep within the tissue, and a very small, like, lump. It wasn't really big. It was just very faint. And I said, okay, I just know what this is. This is just not normal. It seemed abnormal. I never touched my breast, so I didn't know if it was there before, but I just felt like this is not supposed to be here. And I did go and check it out. I went right away to take the mammogram, and they did a mammogram and an ultrasound, and they said, well, you know, we don't like what we see here. We see some calcification, and, you know, they diagnosed me with breast cancer. So that was the beginning of my journey of, you know, having a life-changing experience to have to go through chemo, and radiation. And
oh, wow.
So I went through what happened, though, at that time. So my ex-husband was trying to, at that time, we weren't divorced. And because he saw that I had escaped, of course, his mechanism was to, I'm sorry, you know, I want you to come back. And he did everything in his power to try to get me back, and he did want to be there for me through the cancer. But when I, one day I was taking a shower again, and I hear this voice say to me, don't go back. Don't go back because you will, it will, you know, he will be okay for a short time, and then you'll go back to the same thing, which is what abusers do. Right? That's what abusers do. They apologize, and then they change. They might change for a short time, and it's like a vicious cycle. So I said I needed to get off this roller coaster, and I prayed, and I said, this is going to be a very tough journey because I'm going to go through breast cancer and divorce at the same time.
Wow.
And that's literally what happened. And I was trying to relaunch my product, run my business, and raise a teenage daughter. So I tell you, it took a lot of strength and a lot of prayer, but God helped me through the most difficult time of my life. I went through 6 treatments of chemo, which was, the first treatment was very, very difficult for me. I felt like I was spinning for the first 2 weeks. Just, I would try to walk, and I just felt like I was going around in a circle.
Wow.
And, I, you know, one day I just said, well, and I wanted to sleep a lot. I was very tired. But what gave me strength is I went to the beach, and I just sat down by the water and listened to the water. I meditated, and I prayed, and I meditated. And after that, I came out of it. And actually, every treatment after that wasn't as bad, nowhere near as bad. I would actually have to wake up sometimes 5:30 in the morning to take my daughter to school the day after chemo, because he didn't want to, he wouldn't take her. But, you know, I realized that he was bitter, and once he realized that I wouldn't come back, he turned into that same evil person that he was before. So I was just thanking God that I didn't go back, and I started working on me. I started focusing on my healing, and I started working on my relationship with God. And actually, I made it a point to every day connect with God in the morning. When before I started my day, I would, you know, pray and meditate, and that became my source of healing. And once I started doing that, I started working on the forgiveness piece, because until I forgave him, I realized that I had to, first of all, you know what? I had to admit that I had been broken. Mm-hmm. Once I admitted that I had been broken by this man, then I began my process of healing. And once I accepted the fact that I was broken, then I had to forgive. And then I took back that other piece, that broken piece, back from him. I forgave him. I released him over to God. And then I started working on becoming a whole person again. And I actually was able to launch my product again that same year after my radiation. I launched my product, relaunched my product. And I was, you know, it was a difficult year financially. I mean, it was just a real struggle. I can remember, you know, having pretty much nothing in the bank and just being in a very dark place, because I had to pay all this money out for the treatments, and I had insurance, but I still had to live, and the money I had saved was used and gone. So I just went ahead, I continued, and I would go to the chemist. After my chemo, I would go to the chemist, and he would say to me, why are you here? Well, why are you here? And then he would give me a room to go and lie down and rest, and I would rest for a while and come back. And I said, okay, so let's finish this project. Because I said, I'm doing this because God said I was supposed to launch this product. And and he gave me the vision, and now I have to give birth to the vision. And so we worked on it, and in 2012 I launched it. That was after I finished all my treatment. And in 2013 I found a distributor for the products, and they started distributing to salons. And so it's grown now. I have 4 products in my line, and it's doing great, and I'm expanding.
Well,
I had
the opportunity to try your product. I saw you at an event, and I was like, you know, I need to do something with my hair. It's, you know, damaged, and, you know, with all the perming. And then I tried to go natural, and that just wasn't working for me. And because
right.
I have to always be on the go, running around, trying to do things, and I said, and then when I saw your hair care was like, you know, kind of natural products and stuff, and I began to use it, and I was like, okay, and I bought everything. I bought the shampoo, bought the repair, I bought the glosser, the leave-in treatment. I said, if I'm going to do it, I may as well do it right, because you know, Shirley, I don't know, you can attest to this. I try a little bit of this and a little bit of that based on the label, but then I was like, you know, a lot of us do that. We'll buy a little bit of that and that is a little bit of this, and then we want it to work perfectly, but we're using different brands.
Right.
That's
so true.
But if you use the full product line of something, then the result should be better than average.
That's true.
So maybe you could elaborate on that.
No, that's true. Because sometimes what happens, you know, we call it cherry picking a line. When you cherry pick and you say, okay, I'm going to choose this and I'll choose that. And that's not always bad. I can't say that because everything doesn't work for everybody. And so what I try to do is I try to make products that actually deliver. If it says it's going to hydrate, I want it to actually do that. So what I notice is that when you do use my entire line, it works a lot better than when you mix other products with it, because some of those products are, you know, filled with like silicones and different ingredients, and you're not going to be able to see the full benefit of a line unless you try it, try the full line. And then you can determine at that time what works for you and what doesn't, you know. And then another thing is that a lot of people, what they do is they'll use like a product. They call themselves product junkies, and I used to call myself a product junkie. But what I realized is that a lot of the products that I was using were junk, and I'm just being honest. It wasn't so much me. It's just I couldn't find a product that work for me. And so I would go through all these products, and I felt like I had to keep trying because nothing really worked. So what I do is I make products that work. So when you use and my products are made with natural extracts, and the reason why I named it Nefertiti Secrets, I've always loved royalty, and you know, I just love that era, and I loved she just seemed. I did a bio on her when I was in college, and I said, you know, she just seemed so mysterious and powerful. So I said, you know, if I ever come out with a product, I would love it to be named Nefertiti. But when I did a search on that name, it wasn't available. And this is just a testament to how God works. When I went, I did that search, and it wasn't available, and then it became available. When I had that epiphany and that vision, it was actually, I heard this voice say, go check, it's available. And I went on that computer and I checked and it was available. And that's when I launched the product with that name. So what I did is I said, okay, what do I do with this? What do I do with this vision that you gave me? And I heard that I needed to write the vision and make it plain. And so I started writing and doing research. And he said, research everything. So my research took me back into ancient Egyptian times, where I found natural remedies that the ancient Egyptians used. They didn't use chemicals. They didn't have them. So I incorporated some of my research. In my research, I found that moringa oil is M-O-R-I-N-G-A. That's one of the key ingredients in my product. Was discovered in King Tut's tomb. And so they use that oil for wrinkles and for skin. And if it's good for your skin, it's good for your hair. And then back then they had lice, so they had to cut their hair, and they wore wigs. But if they could have kept their hair, of course they would have loved to keep their hair, but they had to cut it at many times. But they would, the ones that kept their hair, they would use different natural remedies like sage, rosemary. Those are all incorporated in my products as well. And they all have their functioning type of ingredients that work in that are like dual purpose. They work for more, like they'll be for the scalp and the hair. So yes, using the whole line is gonna help you to see the benefits over time.
Well, I know, being that I'm a woman of a certain age, that I've been more drawn to using a lot of natural products and oils and stuff. And I noticed that as I go through the aisles in the beauty supply store, they are using the moringa oil, the coconut oil, green tea oils, all these different oil blends. And I am, a lot of people say, oh, the coconut oil works good on me, or the forgot the name of it. Argan oil.
Argan.
That works good and stuff. So I must say, when I sprayed on my hair, the product smelled good. And I haven't had any issues with dandruff, because I had dandruff really bad. But since I've been using the leave-in treatment, I haven't had any dandruff. And I've stopped using different grease and stuff, because my hair eats grease, and that's why I was it flaky and dense, but I haven't had that.
Right. Oh, that's great. That's a great testimony. Thank you so much. Well, you know what?
Yeah, but it's the truth. I'm not going to talk about something I know, because me and Shirley go back and forth with hair stuff, right, Shirley?
Hair products.
I have a supply closet full.
Oh, right. And that goes back to what I said, is that you're searching for that great product. It's not a problem. I thought I had a problem. It wasn't really. It's not you. It's just that you are looking for something that, you know, to give you exactly what you need, and sometimes you don't find it. You buy products, and if it doesn't work, you just keep going. You keep trying. So I try to eliminate that, because, I look at things from a consumer standpoint. I'm a consumer, and I want products that work. So that's what, you know, you'll find. We'll make sure we get you some as well.
Okay.
Well, you know what, Conchita? Also, I want to add, you know, and bring awareness to our listeners, too, is that, you know, especially the survivors, well, you know, when you go through the chemo, I understand you lose your hair. When you go through domestic violence, you stress out, you lose your hair. Trust me, I know. Yes. And, you know, we go through different chemical imbalances in our body that causes us to lose our hair. So to combat it with an all-natural product line that doesn't have side effects, you know, it works hand in hand. So it's like, you know, I hear you keep continually giving God praise and God glory, and that He told you to name it Nefertiti's products, and told you to do your research and check on the different oils and things, you know, and this is what we need as women, natural things, and stop putting all this, these products, of chemicals in our hair that's been frying, you know, over time, and, you know, hair so damaged. I told my friend, I said, I'm going to cut all my hair off and then start afresh.
Let me tell you something about that. You don't really need to do it. I'm going to tell you why. I'll go back to what you said about, you see what happened with your scalp. If you get products that have ingredients that nourish the scalp, without weighing it down. Again, my product is multicultural, and when it works on all hair textures and all types. And the reason why is because I use natural extracts. It's an extract blend that goes in. It's like a cocktail of natural ingredients that actually give nutrients to the scalp and the hair. So you're going to get benefits on both ends. I've had friends that were thinning, and their hair is so thick now you wouldn't even believe it. It's like, and they spray it on every day, and the leave-in treatment. They spray it in their scalp, or if you just want to spray it on your hair, you can if you don't have scalp issues. But it helps with eczema because what I didn't mention, it has aloe and it has oat extracts. You know, oatmeal is very good for, you know, scalp conditions. So it's just important. You don't need, like, anything that's going to clog your scalp up. So you want to, you know, go with products that are natural-based. And I'll be honest with you now, there are a lot of products that make the claim on the market, and they put a drop in there, one drop.
And so
you got to be careful with that, too. If it's the last
ingredient. Well, that's true, because everything I've been buying, it says it has argan oil, it has maraca oil in it and stuff, and I buy it because it says it has these oils in it, so it can't be all bad. But then if you read the other ingredients, it talks about all the other stuff they got in there with like you said, a drop of oil maybe. That
right.
may not be totally good.
Right. So, you know, health and beauty is something that I'm passionate about. And I try to, I sit with the chemist and I basically tell him what to put in the products and pretty much the percentage of how much to put in there. You know, I don't know as much as he knows, of course. You know, I have the level of knowledge, but I ask a lot of questions. And my questions is, what is the effective amount? How much do we need to put in there for this to work? What percentage? And then when we get to the bottom of that, that's what goes in the product. So it's a personal touch that goes into these products, and that's why I call it my they're blessed, they're anointed. And so I just
okay, well,
that
how
they,
can they
you know,
buy anointed products?
Okay, so my website is www.nefertitisecrets.com. And so that's N-E-F-E-R. TITISECRETS.com. So it's the word Nefertiti and then secrets with an S on the end .com. And if they want to email me, they can email me at NESECRETS@ATT.net. And we're gonna do a promotion as well for the listeners to receive a 15% discount. But they need to email me and put soul in the subject, and then I'll send them the code for the discount.
Okay. So it is NESECRETS@ATT.net?
Correct. NESECRETS@ATT.net. And these products, they're lightweight products. They don't weigh the hair down. But they give you what you need. They give you the nutrients that you need. They hydrate, they soften, leave the hair shiny and bouncy. And we have a lot of professionals that endorse the products because this is a professional line. So that's a good thing. When you hear them endorse it, usually it's a good thing.
Well, like I said, I used it. I like it. And, you know, I wanted you to be on the show because we're talking about surviving cancer and domestic violence. And a lot of times people go through situations and they think their life is over. But I'm here to tell you that whatever dreams, whatever visions you've seen, whatever life you have envisioned for yourself, you can still have that. Don't allow the sickness, the disease, illness, someone else dictate your reality. You have the power to live your dreams. And you can start it right now, today. Those things that you've been mulling over and saying, oh, I can't do it because of this, I can't do it for that. But you can live your dreams. You just got to start. You just got to begin. Because one thing I'm certain of, and I promise you this, that assignment that God has for your life, he will make provision for you. You just have to open your mouth. You have to make known what it is you want to do. But be careful in who you share your dream with, because they'll snatch it from you if you're too slow about it. They'll be like, oh, that's a good thing. Just like we have these inventors that come up with different gadgets, and they tell somebody about it, and because they sit back while that person is driving a car and they're sitting back saying they're being chauffeured, they take that product and they put it on the market and they make money, and then you just be out of gas, just sitting in the back seat looking out the window and wondering what happened. So this is your moment. This is your time. I don't care what obstacles you face. I don't care what you've been through. You've gone through it. You're standing. You're surviving. You're resilient. You're powerful. You're strong. You can live your best life now. Just got to begin today.
That's right.
You say, Dr. Parker, you just don't know what I'm going through. You just don't know where I've been. And you know I don't have any money. You know, when I started my business Arise by VNP, I didn't have any money and I didn't even know where it was going. But guess what? Because I made an action step and started walking through what God's ordained purpose for my life was, I wind up connecting with one of the greatest speakers in the world, Les Brown, and my life has never been the same. I've been representing him for over 17 years as a booking agent, event planner, just because I took a step, not knowing what that next level was going to be, but that was my next. And from there, I moved on, and he encouraged me to write my book. Well, my first book, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt You, you can go to my website, fromthesoulofawoman.com, sold 10,000 copies because I took action steps, because I moved forward, because I didn't allow my situation of being abused, of being homeless, me and my four children, sleeping on a queen mattress, living in a garage, I didn't allow that to dictate my reality.
That's right.
Wow. Shirley had been confined in a hospital. They was getting ready to pull the plug. And she was like, no, I'm going to live. I'm not going to die. I got things to do. I got to get up out of here. Shirley, briefly tell them the story of what you told the doctors in the hospital.
I told them that I was walking out of there, because they had given up on me. They wanted to call my family in and say there was nothing else they can do for me. Ended up on life support. Both lungs collapsed in the middle of what took me in, because I was hemorrhaging in my lungs. And, again, it was related to stress. Didn't know what was going on. Went down for the count. Thought it was pneumonia. But it turned out it wasn't. In the hospital for 30 days, ended up in emergency surgery, both lungs collapsed and on life support. And there was nothing else they could do. But my God told me I was walking out. And I became a living, breathing, walking testimony for them, a miracle child, because the odds were against me for surviving or ever coming off life support, alive. But I did. And I had a stroke while I was in the hospital, lost my ability to walk and talk. I had to go through, when you lose those things that you've taken for granted, it's a hard pill to swallow to learn how to walk again and to learn how to talk, to say simple things like call your child's name. You can't call it because your mouth can form the words, but it don't come out. And you get so frustrated, your whole body goes into tremors. I had to learn how to walk, talk, and, to pull myself back together. But I did. And I thank God for it every day.
Amen. Wow.
Yeah. And you're a business owner. Two businesses, against all odds.
I have Phenomenal Entertainment Against All Odds. And, Val, you remember the courier business? I started a courier business. 9 years I ran it until Check 21 came in. But for 9 years, I did cash tickets, which is what, when you cash your check at the bank, they would give you, you know, they would keep the checks and everything. I took those checks to a processing center. I transported millions of dollars a day because I did the banks and the credit union. No one never knew what I was doing, but that was my, I had a courier business. And to be a black female in this city I live in, it was unusual. You know, you see Brink carrying all those type of things. But my small company worked from Lansing to Detroit. We went to all the banks and credit unions and then took it to the Federal Reserve. Me and my three sons. And then I had five other workers that was working with us. Never knew the difference. We wore our plain clothes. They looked like college students. Never knew what we were doing. All they knew was we was carrying a tote bag. Never knew what was in that bag. People never had a clue.
That's how awesome it is. That's how awesome God is. He will exceed all your expectations, you know, because, you know, life is never about us. It's always about what God wants to do through us and for other individuals, but we have to be willing to make that impact, that connect. So I encourage you to, you know, visit our website. Shirley's is
www.againstallodds.com,
and ShirleyMCarter.com, and my website is ArriseByVNP.com. That's my corporate website. And also from the soulofawoman.com, you'll find out all the information regarding my nonprofit. You just go to the foundations and we take donations. We need your help. We can't continue to do what we do without the support of those of you tuning in, listening in, and praying and supporting us by purchasing our books or, you know, sending in just love donations. We thank you and appreciate you so much. And I want to thank my special guest, Conchita Pleasant. Keep on striving. Keep on moving, my queen. And if
thank
you would
you so
please
much.
Be so kind to give your email address once again for us.
Okay. So the email is N like Nancy, E like Edwards, secrets, SECRETS, at att.net. And I just want to thank you all so much, and I'm so proud of both of you all. And you are such an inspiration to so many, and I'm just so blessed to have the opportunity to hear your testimonies. And it just gives me inner strength to continue and walk in faith, because that's the most important thing. Sometimes, like you
Absolutely.
Said, we don't know where it's coming from. We just
right.
have to walk in faith, step out on faith, and just, you know, walk into your blessings. And so thank you
Amen.
All so much.
Amen.
Amen. I yeah. thank you. I thank God that none of us look what we've been through. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Don't look what we've been through.
Yes.
So I
That's
thank God for connecting me with such a beautiful, exquisite creature as yourself, Conchita. And as I say, continue
Likewise.
To strive, continue to grow. And I'll be coming by for my hair products. I need some more.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to definitely be seeing you very soon. And I'm definitely going to sow a seed into your organization as well. Okay. We need you all. We need you to continue this good work, and I pray blessings upon both of you and your businesses and your family.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Thank you so much. And remember, our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear that we're more powerful beyond measure. Marion Williamson wrote that. Thank you so much for tuning in to Hot Topics from the Soul. Good night and God bless.
Good night. Mm-hmm.